Turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 19. Proverbs 19. The blessing in reading Scripture, the blessing in it, is that we understand it. And the Spirit blesses the understanding that He gave to our hearts. That's the blessing. We read some of the most precious verses of Scripture that you think should just ignite our hearts in total ecstasy. And we read them with such a cool attitude so often. Isn't that a shame? But to have the Spirit of God bless them to us, that's what we want this morning. Bless this to me. Bless it to my heart. Proverbs 19, verses 1 to 3. Now listen to this. Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Now this is what I need. This is what I want. This is what I need. I need, Lord, teach me what he just said. I know it's so because the Lord said it. I know it's so. But what did he say? Better. Or I'll just give you the meanings of the word. Best. Best. Better is the poor. And again, now that word right there, it's an amazing word. You know, when we think of poor, we think of those that were born poor. They don't have a lot. They struggle. They don't have much in the way of material. Poor. But they were born that way. They just, through providence. But this word right here is an amazing word. It means to make himself poor. To make himself poor. Or to impoverish himself. Now that's an amazing word. Who, naturally speaking, wants to impoverish himself? Who wants to just make himself poor? Because I'd rather be poor. That's just not the way we think. We want to get more and have more. Better is the poor that walketh or has his manner of life in his integrity or his completeness or his perfection. His integrity. His perfection. Now let me tell you what the first half of that verse just said. Here's the literal. The one who ever walked, the one who ever walked in perfection, or in innocence, who impoverished himself, making himself poor, is best. Now that's what it means. Now you know when you read it like that, and your mind goes to the Lord Jesus Christ, you think, now that's a blessing. You think of him. Listen to this. The one who ever walked in perfection, in innocence, who impoverished himself, made himself poor, is best. He's best. Bypassing anything that can be said about the integrity of any creature born in Adam, because there's nothing. What are we going to say about them? Let's talk about him. Let's talk about the Lord. Let's fly to him and behold him. Who the scripture says, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Now here's about three or four things I know out of that first part of that. I'll not labor this long. Number one, He's rich. He's rich. He's eternally rich. Where do you start in the richness of the Lord, the perfection of His nature? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. There is a man in glory seated on the throne of God. There is a man in glory seated on the throne of God who is God. He's rich. He made all things. By Him all things consist. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof. So I know this. I know He's rich. But I know this. He impoverished Himself for the sake of His people. He became poor. He made Himself poor. Poor. The Word was made flesh with all of its weaknesses, its frailties, yet without sin. The Lord of glory, the Scripture says, being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Let me tell you how poor. And I'll say this. I tried to read over what I wrote here, and I thought, I know that's so, but I can't enter into the depth of it. Let me tell you how poor He made Himself to be. You know, one that's just so deeply in debt, there's just no possible way of getting out of it. He just owes. He just doesn't matter what he says or what he thinks. He owes everything. He's just poor. But here, the Lord made Himself answerable. Made sin. He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He was made to bear the debt. He took upon Himself the debt of all of His people for all of time. Made Himself answerable for all of it. I owe that. That's what He said. Mine iniquities taken hold. So I know this. He made Himself, He was rich, made Himself poor. And He who made Himself poor, thirdly, walked this earth. Better is the poor that walketh in His integrity. He walked on this earth in absolute obedience, in integrity, in innocence, perfection. He walked before His Father perfectly. And the Father, who knew everything about Him, all of His thoughts, His words, His deeds, He said, "This is My beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased." He walked in His integrity, His own integrity. And that integrity, now you listen to this, that obedience that He earned as a man is the righteousness in which believers are robed. His righteousness imputed to His people. Now you talk about comfort. But I'm telling you, He earned it. I didn't. And you didn't. He did. And here's the fourth thing. He's better. He's better. Better, best. Whatever can be said or thought concerning a standing before God. Anything that can be stated that a man might trust in, he's better. He's better. Better than the angels. Scripture says, Hebrews 7:19, the law made nothing perfect. Let me tell you what that means. Nothing that you did made you perfect. Well, I gave my heart to the Lord. Be careful how much bragging you start doing. Be careful how much bragging you start doing. Because the moment you open your mouth and start claiming to have a righteousness before God because of what you did, well, the Lord offered it and I accepted it, then what you're saying is your work is what made it perfect. Be careful. Not by works of righteousness that we've done. Well, I was baptized. Water didn't make you perfect. Be careful. Be careful. I'm going to tell you something. Believers are baptized. And believers do call upon the Lord. But that is the evidence. That's the result of regeneration. A new heart. You're saved by grace. You're saved by grace. He's best. Not me and you. The law made nothing perfect. But the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. Let me tell you who that better hope is. You know. He was made a surety of a better testament. He is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. He is better. Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Now, I can understand that one. Just seem like I can understand that one. This perverse one and he that is perverse. Let me tell you who the perverse one is. Anybody or anything that's not him. Anybody or anything that is not him. He's better. Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and a fool. A man that speaks thinking he can reconcile himself back to God. One whose speech scatters is the ruin of men's souls. Verse 2 also, that the soul be without knowledge, it's not good. And he that hasteth with his feet sinneth. That the soul be without knowledge. What kind of knowledge? Any kind of knowledge? Well, there's a lot of things we know. We know some things. We've got some understanding. But the soul that is without a knowledge of Him, a knowledge of Christ, a knowledge of the Father, as they are revealed in these Scriptures, this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, that they might know Thee. I said, devils know who they are. The demons knows that there's a God. The devils knows that there's a Jesus Christ. They know that. I mean, that's a historical fact. But to know Him with a heart of love and understanding, commitment. And that the soul be without knowledge is not good. It's not good for that soul, I can tell you that. What did the Lord say concerning the one that would betray Him? Been better if he'd never been born. That soul is in danger of eternal damnation and ruin, separation from God. I was recently had a big fire going. I was going to burn a lot of brush and stuff like that. And threw some just chunks of wood and stuff on that. And I'm telling you, that fire was hot. It was hot. It burned down, you know, and burned down. I'd go over and stoke it and throw some more. I mean, just trying to get it. And the wind shifted just a little bit and blew the heat toward me. I mean, I was far enough away. I wasn't in it, but I was close. And I'm telling you, for a second, I looked down at my pants just to see if they were on fire. It was so hot. And at that moment, I thought to myself, speaking of that rich man that died and went to hell, Lazarus died, went to the bosom of Abraham, and I just for a second, it went through my mind. That would be a drop in the bucket. It didn't last. The heat only, if it lasted a second, it took 2 seconds maybe. But it went through my mind. What if I had some understanding of what the Scripture says? That rich man that called to Father Abraham and said, could you have Lazarus just come dip his finger in some water, touch my tongue, just one second. We'll be here eternally. If I could just have, just touch my tongue, because I am being tormented in these flames. And he knew it. That the soul be without knowledge, it's not good. Not good. And he that hasteth with his feet sinneth. Proverbs 1:15-16 says, they make haste, those that hasteth with their feet. They make haste to shed blood. They lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. They just play with it. Just play with their soul. Playing with their soul. And the bottom line concerning he that hasteth with his feet, with his steps, that walks continually, missing the marks, what he's talking about. He that hasteth with his feet is what he's doing. He sinneth. He sinneth. While he thinks he's walking in his integrity, walking in his own liberty, in his own obedience, it's what he's doing. He's sinning against God. He's sinning and sinning, sinning. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son. What does that mean? Trusting him only. If I could just somehow, I'm talking about me, let me hear it. Let me hear it. Let me understand. Get this out of my mind. Get it out of my mind. I have nothing to glory in save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I've never done anything to merit salvation. Therefore, the Scripture says, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. And verse 3 in closing. The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. The foolishness of man perverteth his way. The sinfulness of a man, a woman born in Adam, the sinfulness of that heart, of that nature, causes him to continually go astray. He's just going astray. He's just continually. I've said this so many times, you that know him, doesn't it grieve you when you see yourself in your mind? I'm talking about in your mind now, going astray. Just going astray. Just forgetting. I hear these words, casting all your care upon him. Why? For he careth for you. And I'll be dog if I won't find myself taking the bull by the horns. Let me see this. Let me tell you how I'm going to work this out. This is what I'm going to do. Instead of casting all of my care upon the Lord. Why? Because he careth for his people. The foolishness of man perverteth his ways, causes him to go astray. His foolishness turns him aside. His And the thing is, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. Now let me tell you what that means. It blames him. Rages against God. Let me show you that. It's Genesis chapter 3, verse 12. Remember when Adam and Eve sinned against the Lord? They sinned against God. Eve took that fruit and gave it to Adam. They ate it. Their eyes were open. They knew they were naked. The Lord came walking in the cool of the day. Genesis chapter 3. And look here. When it came right down to it, the Lord asked them, "Have you eaten?" Verse 11. "Have you eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" And listen to this. This is what it is to fret against the Lord, to rage against the Lord. "And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." Now I'll just run it down real fast for you. Here's what he said. "It's your fault. Your fault. It's your fault." Does he work all things after the counsel of his own will? Does the Lord order all things? He worketh all things. He rules in heaven and earth, right? Well, if something crosses my path that in my mind doesn't seem to go the way I wanted it to go, I wanted it to be different, let me tell you what my old man's going to say. Well, who orders all things? Who worketh all things? Now you think about that. What's the natural man going to think? It's God's fault. You say, "I'd never say that." Oh, don't give yourself so much, pat on the back. Believe me, we would. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Why? Because I'll tell you this, there's an old man in us that does not love him, that does not trust him. Thanks be unto God. As I said before, there's a new man that does in the believer. That old man will rage against God. But you let a man by grace see him by faith, who is best. Going back to verse 1 in closing. "He who made himself poor and walked continually," walketh before God in his own perfection, his own innocence. "He who was made sin for us who knew no sin, that he might robe us in his righteousness justly, paid our debt, made us holy in him. He who answered every demand of the law for justice, who satisfied every demand of God Almighty by his obedience, shed his blood eternally, having justified us," but in time accomplished it, "gave us faith to believe it. He who humbled himself as God's servant, he's the best." You let a man see him, trust him, and by the grace of God come to him, that man's got a good hope. The most comforting, the most secure place to be found, sitting by the grace of God. And I know this is not something I can do. But if he grants me a heart to just settle down, and trust him, all is well. Lord, bless these words to our heart for Christ's sake.